Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Home Tears by Tijan, narrated by Sarah Mollo Christensen. 1. Bells that were hung over the bank's door jingled as Danny O'Hara stepped inside, and 5 seconds later she heard the first intake of breath. Oh my God. Well, shit. That hadn't taken long. 10 years. That was how long it had been since she was home. Craigstown's population was only a little over 2,000, so maybe Danny had been a little delusional. She thought she could come in, deposit her checks, get some cash, and slip away unseen. It might have felt surreal to another person, but it wasn't to her. In fact, it was the opposite. It was too real. Danny didn't want to feel or deal with any of the storm going on inside of her, so she shoved everything down except for wariness. She could feel wary. That was a safe emotion to handle, or the safest out of the others. And with that last thought, she needed to face whoever whispered that first greeting. They were about to be her first reunion. Kelly Lynn. Danny recognized her right away, and of course, it had to be her. If it wasn't the person who was the reason why Danny left in the first place, it made complete sense it'd be that person's sidekick. No irony there at all. None whatsoever. Nada. Danny wasn't funny, but even this situation was making her inside shake slightly with laughter. "Kelly," she greeted, folding her hands in front of her. "How are you? What are you up to now?" Simple questions. They were the polite response, but Kelly was floored. Her mouth was still hanging open. Then again, Danny had been prepared for this type of reaction. It was everyone else who wasn't. Danny studied Kelly. She seemed to be struggling with a response. Kelly was the popular girl in the grade below her. She was friends with Danny's youngest sister. The actual reason, or kind of reason, the more or less reason, fuck, it was complicated reason why Danny left 10 years ago and never returned. Correction. They were best friends. She remembered Kelly being blonde, beautiful, and the typical bitch mean girls were portrayed as. Looking at her now, she looked like a grown-up version of the same person. Her clothes upgraded from the too-tight tank tops to the just-right cleavage underneath a cashmere sweater. "Is it you?" Kelly blinked. "Danny?"
"It is. It's me."
"It's you!" Squealing, Kelly wrapped her arms around Danny. "We all thought you were dead. I mean, you didn't come to Erica's..." Kelly glanced down before lifting her head again. "We didn't know what to think when you didn't come to..." She jerked up a shoulder. "You know..."
5 seconds before someone gasped at the sight of her, and now the invisible elephant had just been alluded to. Her sister. That took a whole minute. Then again, Danny realized she was the second elephant in the room. It made sense, the rumors were that she was dead. 10 years and not a word from her. But for the first elephant, Danny wasn't ready to talk about it. Not yet. She would, but not with her sister's best friend. She was glad Kelly hadn't had the balls to actually say the words of what it was. She spoke before Kelly changed her mind.
"I was on location for my job. Julia and Aunt Catherine didn't get in touch with me. Though, if her oldest sister and aunt could have, she didn't know if they actually would have."
"You're home? For good?"
Kelly Lynn was still holding her hands, as if she feared Danny would run away.
"For a bit, yeah."
"Me and Dave are having a grill tonight. You should come."
Her eyes lit up, and she squeezed Danny's hands tighter.
"Yeah, you should come. Julia's bringing Jake. It'll be the old gang, all back together again."
Julia and Jake? Danny felt a pang in her chest. It had been Erica and Jake.
"The old gang?"
Danny frowned. There'd been no old gang, at least not one where she was included.
"Oh."
Kelly's smile lessened.
We all kind of regrouped, you know, after Erica's thing.
Danny could almost hear an elephant trumpet in the background. Kelly was saying,
Julia, me, Katrina Lloyds, Heather Carlisle, and some of the others all formed a clique, kind of like in high school, but all we really do is get together for dinners and have a few beers around the campfire. Sometimes the girls will go shopping. It'd be great if you came.
Yeah. Danny's smile grew painful. I'll think about it, first night and all, you know. They both knew she wouldn't go.
Oh.
Kelly's smile was almost gone by now.
Well, you're welcome. You know that. I want you to know that. Gosh, have you been home yet? Have you seen Julia and Kathy?
Not yet. I wanted to take care of some business first.
They're going to be so excited. I just know it. Julia's going to die happy tonight. I'm sure they've been missing you so much.
Well, they thought I was dead, so... Danny's eyes slid away. There's that.
Okay.
She cleared her throat, gesturing to the door.
You know, I should get going. Dave needs all the steaks and brats before long. We have to start up the grill before the guests start arriving, and we need time to prepare everything.
A few steps away, she stopped and turned back.
It really is great to see you, Danny. Really.
Danny held up a hand in response as Kelly left, but she wasn't smiling anymore. There was no reason. Maybe Kelly actually was happy to see her, but it wouldn't last. She had been on Erica's side back then, and Danny had a hard time imagining things would be different now. If Julia was in her group, Danny knew things definitely wouldn't be different. A line would be drawn and sides would be chosen. Kelly wouldn't choose hers, so the jaded side of Danny knew what was genuine wouldn't last. It was just a matter of time. And with that thought, Danny moved forward to the counter. She was officially back home. 2. After opening a new account, her last was closed because of the whole dead thing, Danny headed to see the one person she thought would be happy to see her and would never change that status. Her other aunt. And she heard as she headed inside May's grill,
Well, hell, the barn cat dragged something in here worthwhile for once.
May slapped her bar towel over her shoulder and hurried around the bar counter. Danny had 2 seconds before she was hauled in for a bear hug. 53, and Aunt May was still the feisty, strong woman she always had been. When she was let go, Danny moved back so she could really see her. Steel-toe boots, silver hair pulled into a haphazard ponytail, checkered button-up shirt with a lacy tank top underneath and a tease of cleavage peeking out, and faded jeans. Same old Aunt May. There'd been a time when May was the only one Danny could lean on, and then there were times when the woman wasn't anywhere in her life. She was glad that it seemed she got back the first version of May again. Danny hoped it would last, and she couldn't hold back a grin. She had missed her.
Hi, May.
One of the regulars looked up from his drink.
I didn't know you had a cat, May.
I don't. It's a saying, Barney.
Her hands rested on Danny's shoulders, shaking her lightly.
Christ's sake, it's about fucking time you got your skinny little behind back to these parts. It's been so long, too long.
She threw her head back.
This calls for a celebration. What'll you have on the house? You don't have a barn, May. How's he gonna have a barn cat?
Barney mumbled, dipping over his drink. She rounded on him.
I got a barn. Why don't you go look for it?
Where's it at about?
Right behind here. Go take a look-see. Tell me when you find me that barn cat of mine. I'd like him back someday.
Are you joshing me, May?
Barney,
she sounded tired.
When do I ever josh you? You'd have to be sober for me to do that. Now get and find me that cat of mine.
She scooted around the counter, giving Danny a wink.
Okay, but if your barn cat scratches me and I have to get me some tetanus shots, you're paying, May. Just laying down the law there.
He almost fell off his stool as he got to his feet. He was a keen negotiator. As he stumbled out the back, another guy at the bar lifted up his beer.
May, that was cruel, even for you. You don't have a barn or a cat.
He was hunched over, sitting toward the middle of the counter. Danny couldn't see him clearly since half the lights were turned off inside the bar, but she could make out a flannel shirt, dark hair lined with gray strands, and a small beard on his face.
Shut it, Jeffries, and drink your beer while I'm still giving it to you.
He saluted and drank.
Shutting it. So, what finally brought your ever-pretty mug back to these whereabouts? And don't think you ain't getting off that easy. I know you don't like to say much, never did, but you better start yapping or your Aunt May is going to get pissed.
Might have to make a phone call to my sister. She cringed.
Never mind on that. I couldn't handle Catherine when you were here. I know I won't be able to now.
She winked and then sobered, leaning closer. She softened her voice.
Seriously, I'm glad as hell that you're back. About time, if you ask me.
How are you going to break the news to that sister of yours? She'll have some words for you, especially since you missed your sister's funeral.
Your sister's funeral. When May kept going, not giving her time to answer, Kelly's words from the bank echoed alongside.
You didn't come to Erica's...
There it was. But I thought... May was still talking.
She's going to light into you. You better have a good excuse ready, though I don't think it'll work.
Yeah, a good excuse. Danny cleared her throat.
I didn't know about Erica's death when it happened. I couldn't come for the funeral. I'll tell Julia that when I see her.
That's not going to fly. She's going to say you didn't tell anyone where you were, and it'll be your fault. They'll turn everything on you. You know that.
May had a keen eye on her.
Well, I'm guessing this isn't the first you heard about your sister's death. You'd be shaken, and you're not.
How did you find out? That was a whole other conversation as well.
Just heard around, you know. What's done is done.
That's why you're here?
Aunt May continued to study her niece.
Just time to come back.
Danny motioned toward the liquor bottles. She was suddenly parched. I'll have a rum and diet.
Ah, hell, don't go breaking your aunt's heart. You'll have a beer on tap, not some diet soda crap.
Danny grinned.
I'll take one of those, then. Whatever you have on tap and need to get rid of.
May slid the drink across the bar.
That's my girl.
A pause and a tap on the counter with her fingers.
So, you going out to see that sister of yours after this?
I was wondering about a place to stay. I wouldn't feel right about imposing on Julia and Aunt Catherine.
Danny was lying, and Aunt May knew it. She wouldn't step foot in that home if it were the last habitable place in the world. May nodded, approving.
You've grown some teeth. I can see it. You look good, too.
Danny flushed. She was fit and trim, clear skin, doe eyes, or that was how they'd been described to her by a boyfriend once, and eyelashes that models would have killed for. Danny knew she looked good, but she also knew it had caused problems. It was another reason to steer clear from her last remaining sister, but that was a problem for a different day.
How about a place to crash for a while?
There's my place. You're always welcome there, but if you're looking for some privacy, the cabin's open, too.
A 3-bedroom log cabin on a corner of Loon Lake and protected by miles of woods on both sides. It was out in the middle of nowhere, and that sounded perfect. It was exactly what Danny needed.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
She sipped the rest of her drink.
Do me a favor.
May rested a hand on the counter, pointing to where Danny was sitting.
I remember how you used to be, always ready to go off on your own. But stay a while. You only got fighting to look forward to right now.
Put that way. Danny stayed sitting. A settled atmosphere ascended the bar for a moment, but the front door opened up. Sunlight lit up a path inside, hitting right onto Danny's back, and the peaceful feeling was suddenly gone. She tensed, and then the door slammed shut. The room was cast into darkness for a moment.
"Hey, May."
The voice was smooth and silky, and Danny recognized it immediately. Jonah Bannon. He was the badass in high school, always ditching class and fighting when he was there. She didn't know much about him because they ran in different circles. She did know that even back then, he'd been gorgeous. He was literally a lean, mean machine, and glancing from the corner of her eye, Danny saw that hadn't changed. There was a bit more recklessness built into the twitch of his jaw. His hands were tan and strong, firm, a bit rough from working, but a person could tell the fitness underneath those clothes. Jonah's infamous body couldn't be hidden. The only other difference she could see was that his ruffled curls were shaven for a clean-cut, buzzed look. They had been rich and thick before. The new haircut agreed with him.
"Can I get a beer?"
Putting some money onto the counter, he hopped on a stool 3 down from Danny.
"And who owns that Mustang in your parking lot?"
Aunt May reached for a bottle. She glanced to Danny underneath her eyelids as she set it before him, then waited a minute before commenting,
"No can do, Jonah. My loyalties lie elsewhere on that topic."
He reached for the bottle, but held it suspended in the air now.
"You kidding?"
She shook her head.
"Nope, afraid not. I know for certain that owner won't want you bothering him. Can't tell you a thing."
The back door slammed shut, and a second later Barney appeared, holding a bleeding arm to his chest.
"May, I didn't find a barn back there, but I'm pretty sure I found your cat. He didn't take a liking to me. You might need to pay up on that tetanus shot you offered."
May cursed, grabbing his arm.
"I don't have a barn cat. I was just messing with you."
"You were?"
He sounded like an insulted 4-year-old.
"But you said you weren't."
"That's the whole point. You don't admit to it when you're doing it."
She started probing his wound.
"Ouch, May. That hurt.
We need to clean this so you don't get an infection. Jeffries, watch the bar for a while."
He lifted his hand in the air.
"Sure thing, May."
Then he pretended to zip his lips.
"And look, still shutting it."
She rolled her eyes, pulling Barney to the back.
"Come on, let's clean this up."
"You make sure that's all you're cleaning up."
"Thought you were shutting it, Jeffries,"
May shouted over her shoulder.
"Doing so again. It was a temporary error."
He saluted and took another drink. As they disappeared into a back area, Jonah asked,
"Hey, who owns that Mustang out front?"
Jeffries shrugged and took a drink.
"You got me there."
His eyes slid toward Danny, and a hint of a smile lingered there. Just a hint.
"I haven't seen a vehicle like that around for a long time. Not since May's little niece took off."
Jonah frowned.
"You mean Erica and Julia's sister? That niece?"
Jeffries waited till Jonah glanced to where May had disappeared before winking at Danny.
"That's the one."
Danny glared at him, knowing she took a seat purposely in the shadows. If Jonah fully looked around, he would have seen her and maybe recognized her, but he was more interested in May. Feeling a knot start to tighten in her stomach, Danny knew it was time to head out to the cabin. Jonah would have more questions if he spotted her, and she was still hoping to put off giving those answers.
"What was her name?"
"I don't know. Didn't talk much, but May thought the sun set around that girl. She went in a slump for a good few months after that girl took off."
Danny stiffened again.
"Yeah, I remember that. Whole town was in an uproar because Erica and that guy started hooking up. No one seemed to like that couple."
Jonah murmured, his voice slightly distracted. And that was enough. It was time to go. Danny slid off her bar stool. No one noticed as she made her way to the door, and just as her hand reached to open it, she heard Jeffries say,
"It's a damn shame, too. May was hoping that girl would come back for the youngest's funeral. When she didn't show, May fell apart for a few months. That girl broke May's heart."
She stood frozen, her hand still on the doorknob, and she looked back. Jeffries was staring right at her. She hadn't realized. 3. 10 minutes later, Danny pulled up outside May's cabin. Small and nestled among the trees, it looked like a fresh coat of white paint had recently been applied. Danny didn't go inside right away. First things first. The lake beckoned to her, and after pocketing the hidden key from behind the grill, she went straight for it. Conflicting emotions were inside her, but she nudged them aside again. No matter her damned history, she still yearned to be around water. The dock looked like a ragtag line of wood, all thrown together, but she was surprised to find out how sturdy it was. May had been taking care of this place. Danny was still sitting there when she heard a car approaching. Standing, she walked back around the cabin and had another shock in store. She thought maybe May came behind her with food, or even Julia heard about her and tracked her down. She was wrong on both accounts. A police cruiser was parked beside the Mustang. There were two men sitting in the front, but she couldn't tear her eyes away from the driver. Sitting there, in a crisp uniform, was the other reason why she left town. Jake Cairns. Her best friend from childhood. Her middle school crush. Her boyfriend in high school. He was her other half, until he chose her younger sister over her. Now he was a cop, and he was with her other sister, too. The one who was still alive, anyway. Hey, Jake. She supposed it was now or never. She had hoped to put off seeing him, just like everyone else, but maybe it was better to deal with him now. Deal with her sister later.
Danny,
he rasped out, stopping a few feet from her. The blood had drained from his face, and he looked like he just saw a ghost. How's it going, Jake? Danny felt stupid saying those words, but what else could she ask? He was her ex. He chose her sister over her. He ripped her heart out, but he was also the only thing keeping her in Craigstown. In a way, she should thank him. He let her go free, and what a journey she had been on. Then again, remembering the reason why she was home, maybe she should curse him out, too. This new heartache, this numbness she was experiencing. She wouldn't have any of that. She suddenly felt herself wanting to ask how life would have been if he hadn't chosen Erica. Would she have stayed? Would they have married? Maybe they even would have had kids by now. She sucked in her breath, feeling an invisible knife plunge into her chest. Maybe she shouldn't be thinking about any of those things, and needing to change her thoughts, her eyes trailed past his shoulders, landing right onto Jake's companion's laughing eyes. Jonah Bannon. Fuck. As if he could read her mind, his mouth twisted up in a smirk. He remained back with the car, but she saw the challenge in his dark eyes. He wasn't going anywhere. She sighed. She could already tell he was going to be a problem. Jake shifted on his feet, pulling her attention back to him.
I didn't believe it. Jonah told me he thought you were back, but damn.
He could only stare at her.
Danny.
That one word, one name from him. Her heart twisted. It was the same soft tone he used when they were kids, right as he kissed her lips and moved to her neck. She clenched her jaw. Maybe she shouldn't have come back after all. He kept going, his hand at his jaw. He just held it there, like he didn't know what else to do with it.
Julia knows you're back.
His hand fell back to his side.
I didn't mean to tell her, not till I saw you myself, but she was on the other line when Jonah found me. She overheard.
He paused, his lips pressed together.
You can't stay at the house, if that's what you were thinking. Then again,
he turned to take in the cabin.
I can see you liking this place better. You always did, didn't you?
Jake. She didn't want to talk about Julia, or that he remembered she'd loved this cabin more than her home. Why'd you come here? Did May tell you I was here?
Nah, it was a guess.
He seemed to remember Jonah and looked back, but focused on her once again. His eyebrows pinched together like he was distracted.
You never called when Erica died. Did you know? I thought maybe you'd come for the funeral.
She didn't want to talk about it, but she heard herself say faintly, I knew.
So you just didn't care?
It wasn't that. It was... She didn't want to think about it. Jake... She didn't want to remember when she found out.
No.
He held up a hand.
I didn't mean to attack you. That's not why I came out here, but...
His hand grabbed the back of his neck and remained there.
I should let you know that Julia's got a lot on her plate. Catherine's in the nursing home now. Did you know that?
He didn't let her respond, speaking to himself.
Nah, I suppose you wouldn't, but Julia's got too much going on. I don't think she can handle seeing you right now. Her Aunt Catherine, either.
Danny had no plans of seeing either, but she couldn't help herself. My Aunt Catherine.
What?
She's my aunt, too.
Oh.
A wrinkled line in his forehead increased. His eyebrows pinched even harder against each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
And then, suddenly, as quick as the fight came to her, it left her in one sudden whoosh. She was tired, all the way down to her bones. She didn't know another time in her life when she'd been this exhausted. She knew there'd be a time when she and Jake should talk. They never did, not after he told her he was leaving her for Erica and she took off the very next day. But that time wasn't today. It wasn't now. Look, Jake. He lifted his head, finding her. She added, You go back and let Julia know that I got her message. It was better if Julia thought she was adhering to her command and not that she was staying away because Danny didn't want to see Julia or Catherine. Julia was just one of those people. It was her way, not someone else's, but Danny didn't want that fight on her doorstep either. I'll stay away.
That's it?
Jake frowned. She shrugged. What else do you want me to say?
I don't know, I just...
He cut himself off.
You're right. Maybe there's nothing else to say.
He clipped his head in a nod, returning to his car.
I'll let Julia know. I'll tell her you send your best to her, too.
He was at the car. She went with him, and he reached for the door handle. Jonah had moved. Danny didn't see him, but she knew he was around. She could almost feel his presence, but she was focused on this ghost from her past. Jake, she didn't know what to say. There wasn't anything, not at that moment, anyway. It was too soon. He ignored her and said instead, still turned toward the car with his back to her,
I best be going now, Danny. I'll let Julia know you're okay with staying out here.
Thank you. She nodded. He opened his door, but suddenly looked back up at her.
Where have you been these 10 years, Danny?
Why are you back now? That was the unspoken question in the air. She didn't answer. She didn't want to, and she couldn't find the words anyway. Jake waited a beat, but when there was no response, he didn't look surprised. He got inside, started the engine, and pulled out of the driveway. There was an extra heaviness on her heart, but ignoring it, she turned for the cabin, and there he was. Leaning against her door, Jonah Bannon flashed her that smirk again and dropped his arms that had been crossed over his chest. His hands slid into his pockets, and a dimple in his right cheek winked at her.
Now, about that Mustang of yours.
4. No. Danny shook her head. Why were you with him, anyway? He laughed.
when he heard you were here and he was coming with or without me. I just hitched a ride.
It was a wasted trip. She stepped around him and pulled out the key. Unlocking the door, she stepped inside, but turned around to block him from following her. She placed a hand against the doorframe. You should have gone back with Jake, because I'm not letting you in.
Are you serious? I just wanna—
I remember you from school, but that doesn't mean I know you. And I'm not talking about my car. It's not for sale, and no, you can't take it for a ride if you were going to ask. She jerked her chin up, indicating behind him. If I remember right, it's a long walk from here to your place. You should get going if you want to get home before dark. Then she shut the door, locked it, and forgot about him. Or tried to forget about it. She didn't, really. He was in the back of her mind, but what she said had been true. She didn't know Jonah Bannon. She didn't owe him anything either. He wanted her car, that was obvious, but it wasn't until she got ready for bed that she started wondering if she'd been too hard on him. He came into the bar asking questions and not respecting the answers he was getting. He was like a tornado, but she had enough of those storms in her. She could only handle one at a time, and lying in bed, she hoped some of them were staying at bay. She needed to sleep. Badly. It was the screams first. Then the babies started crying. People running. It was so silent, but those footsteps, they were pounding on the pavement. People were rushing for their lives, and then an eerie moment of silence, and the water came down. Gasping, Danny jerked awake. She moved to the edge of the bed and dragged in some air. Deep breaths. One in, one out. In, out. She kept going, her eyes closed, and waited for her body to remember. She was safe. She wasn't there. Safe. I'm safe. Danny could still hear the sirens in the distance, and she flinched, gritting her teeth. Hell, Danny cursed, catching a glimpse of the clock. 3 in the morning. She'd gotten 5 hours of sleep. It had been almost 3 months since she'd had a full night's sleep. She'd been given a card for times like this. If the nightmares kept coming, she'd need to talk. But that was the problem. Danny didn't talk unless it was necessary, but her hand still reached for her purse and pulled out the card. The number was bold and black, emblazoned for easy reading. You've been through an awful and horrible event in your life. You'll need help, and when you want it, it's there, Danny. Fuck that. She'd get through this like she got through everything else. Crumpling up the card, she stuffed it back in her purse. She stretched her neck, kneading the sore muscles there, and moved to the kitchen to get a bottle of water. As she opened it and took a sip, she heard another voice in her head. This one was a dark baritone, and he'd only been trying to help her.
I'm here if you decide to stop running. I'll always love you. You know that. But I can't keep following you around.
Her hand twitched now, spilling water into the sink. Her eyes caught sight of her bare finger, and she held still. She couldn't look away. That man, that voice... He hadn't asked for what she did to him. Shame hung her head, but then she put the water away and glanced at the clock. May would probably still be awake. A drive to May's Grill would help clear the nightmare from her mind. After dressing, she headed out, but coming to the main highway, she let the car sit and idle a second. Just over the ditch, running alongside the highway, was the town's livelihood. Falls River. It encompassed their entire state and wound its way through the next two and into Canada. Most of the workers who settled in Craigstown worked at the dam, not far north. It kept their town with food and fuel. And life. Many nights she remembered jumping off a certain bridge not 3 miles from May's place.
Tenderfoot Rush was a bridge where everyone, every teen and every adult, had jumped off naked, dressed, or in swim trunks. Everyone did it. It was the favored pastime of the summer. If you couldn't find anyone in town and it was over 100% humidity, just check Tenderfoot Rush. They were always there. The place was built on memories from everyone. And so many decided to make the trek to May's Grill, just 3 miles south. Many tubing trips started at Tenderfoot Rush and pulled out at May's Grill. There were still a few cars in the parking lot when she got there, and she heard yelling from inside as she opened the door.
Barney, get the hell out of here before I do something I'll regret. You hear me?
Oh, come on, May. I don't got nowhere to sleep tonight. Can't drive. You made sure of that when you took my keys.
I don't care. It's not my problem. If you get annihilated and think I'll let you drive out of here just inviting a lawsuit against my bar, you're a fool. You drink, that means you're not driving, but you're still not my problem. Now get out of here.
But May...
He was slumped on his stool at the bar when Danny went inside.
I don't have anyone to call.
May slapped a towel on the counter.
Don't make me call that future nephew-in-law of mine. He'll arrest you.
But I haven't got no place to sleep, May.
He whined again, settling his forehead on the counter again. He snorted.
You call your nephew. He's marrying the side of the family that don't want you around.
Barney had a death wish. A second later, his words penetrated his skull. His head jerked back up with wide eyes, and his cheeks lost color.
Oh, gosh, I didn't mean, May, that didn't come out right. I'm sorry.
You get out now.
Her hands wrapped around the towel, and she was wringing it, envisioning it was his neck.
How's it going, May? I didn't mean nothing by what I just said. I mean it, May. I speak without a brain. I'm sorry, May.
He made a scramble for the door. He turned back and opened his mouth, but nothing came out when he saw Danny standing just inside the door. May heard his pause and turned, too.
She sure is pretty, May.
May threw a bottle at him, which he ducked. It shattered against the wall, and Barney was out the door in a flash. May's chest was heaving. Her nostrils flared.
Every damn night, it's the same thing over and over. I'm getting tired of it.
He needs help. She began wiping the counter, her hand moving in quick, savage circles. Danny remained in one spot. She was still so damn tired, but she was thankful her aunt wasn't paying her much attention. She was still cursing under her breath. Danny tried to warm her hands and rubbed at her cheeks. She looked in the mirror before she left and knew she looked like a ghost. She could still feel the nightmares. They clung to her like a wet blanket, but she needed to get rid of them. She needed to look alive when May really focused on her again. After hearing what Barney said, Danny was thinking she needed to be the one there for her aunt and not the other way around. May was grumbling.
I should just make Jake kick him out of town. Barney don't got no family here, and he doesn't have a job. He's got nothing. Jake could take him out of town in his cruiser and let him hitchhike to the next town. He's got a soft spot for him.
She kept going. Her hand moved faster and faster.
May. No.
May shook her head.
No, girl, you sit and help yourself to some coffee. I brewed a fresh batch not long ago. It takes all my energy to argue with that damn drunk. He's so stubborn, but no more. He always says he won't be a problem if I let him have the bottle, but he's always harping for a place to sleep.
Danny poured herself a mug and sat down. She couldn't help wondering if it was Barney who May was even talking about now.
He don't got anyone. Why is he here?
She stopped scrubbing, brushing some of her hair off her forehead.
Yeah.
Her voice was quiet now.
He should go, but he never does. Never will.
Then it was like she remembered Danny was there. May blinked a few times, dropped the washcloth on the counter, and looked at her.
What are you doing here at this hour?
Danny went for the easiest answer.
Jake stopped by earlier. He did?
Yeah.
Danny took a sip as May leaned against the counter right across from her. Julia doesn't want me out of the house. She doesn't even want me to see Aunt Catherine. May pushed back up from the counter with a sharp movement.
That...
She heaved a deep sigh to calm herself.
Can't say I'm surprised. She's not going to like you being home.
She eyed Danny.
She'll be worried you're going to take Jake away.
Danny felt there was a little more to that statement when May said it, and she put her mug back on the counter.
Is she the only one thinking that?
May lifted up a shoulder.
People are talking. They're wondering.
People are wondering about me?
Danny leaned forward, resting her elbows on the counter.
Or are you wondering?
Small towns meant big mouths. Danny knew that. She'd always known that, but this gossip had been fast. Then again, she ran into Kelly Lynn. Maybe she should have expected it after being in town only for one day. May grabbed the washcloth again and began cleaning the counter where Danny sat.
I did before. I don't anymore. You're not the same you from before.
What do you mean?
She reached for her coffee, but only sat there. Her hands grew cold, even holding that hot mug. May shrugged again, finishing up her cleaning. She tossed the washcloth to the back kitchen.
You're not the same girl who left these parts 10 years ago. I can see it in you, and I'm guessing that you've seen some of what life has to offer. I'm betting it's not the side that goes to operas and sings church hymns.
It's big news when the middle O'Hara comes back to town after vanishing 10 years ago.
It's even bigger news when she left a slip of a girl and comes back a stunning young woman.
Even if others can't tell, I can. You've got a backbone now.
And this is the same girl who holds the title First Love on Jake's Love Life. But the question isn't how is Julia going to handle you being back.
May watched her steadily.
It's you. So what are you going to do, Danny? Is Jake the real reason you came back home?
The air grew thick with tension. Danny cut some of that tension as she said,
I didn't come back for Jake.
That only answered part of her aunt's question, and the other part was a question she was starting to realize maybe others had as well. Was she going to take him back? 5. Danny and May had a nightcap and a conversation that was purposefully kept lighthearted, though Danny made sure to get some information on Jonah Bannon. She wanted to know whom she was dealing with, but after a second drink, she was able to sleep a few hours on May's couch. And it wasn't long after when she woke again, but this time it was from jet lag. No nightmares. Hearing May's soft snoring from her bedroom, she didn't want to wake her as she'd let herself out. Knowing she had no food at the cabin, other than what May always kept stocked there, she was in the grocery mart when she heard Jonah Bannon's slow drawl again.
Milk, eggs, cheese, yogurt, and, let me guess, you can't forget the chocolate. Every female I know has to have chocolate.
He was right behind her. His hair was wet like he just showered. He was clean-shaven, and those same dark eyes that had been laughing at her yesterday still held their distinct cocky twinkle. Wearing a black hooded sweatshirt that molded perfectly to his form, Jonah looked good in the early hours of the morning, but Danny wasn't surprised. She had a strong suspicion that Jonah always looked good.
Please. She opened the freezer for a bag of frozen vegetables. May told me you used to be a big-shot headhunter before you came back to town. That means you're smart. I'm sure you could identify 5 food products every female has to have, but maybe stick to something that's not so stereotypical. We need to have our chocolate for our periods, right?
Jonah cut a grin.
I heard you were the nice, shy O'Hara. You're not nice and shy now.
My nasty side tends to come out when I have a thorn in my side. You, Jonah Bannon, are becoming that thorn.
She moved to another aisle, and he kept pace with her.
Okay. I'm getting the message. The car's not for sale, but what about a ride?
She stopped and shot him a look. He held up his hands.
I know what you said before. no rides. But man, that is a seriously sweet car. You don't understand the agony of seeing it out and about and not being able to give it a ride. Can you really blame a guy for trying?
She grabbed a carton of milk and started forward again. Jonah got in front.
Put yourself in my shoes.
She frowned at him. Is this really about my car, or is there something else going on?
Huh?
He lowered his hands. She was being paranoid. Nothing, sorry. I started to think you were another one of my sister's minions. His eyebrows shot up.
You're funny, too. I've never met an O'Hara who was funny.
He shook his head.
No, I'm not here because of your sister.
Their eyes caught and held, and an undercurrent passed between them. Danny couldn't help but murmur, "Not that sister, anyway." Jonah sobered, resting his hands on the end of her cart. He said quietly,
"I wasn't sure if you remembered."
She nodded. Her insides were swirling again. "I remembered." He dated Erica for a week. It hadn't been long, but Erica shouted it from the rooftop. It was one of the only arguments she had with Julia. Their oldest sister hadn't loved having Jonah Bannon dating their littlest. She kept claiming it was because he was a bad influence. Everyone knew it had nothing to do with that, and everything to do with her own jealousy. "You didn't think Erica was funny?" Danny remembered his earlier words. "Everyone thought Erica was funny."
"Erica thought she was funny. That's good enough for most."
"But not you?" His grin slipped a notch.
"Are you trying to trip me up? Is that what this is?"
"I just want to hear some truth. Everyone raves about my sister. I didn't think there existed a person who didn't."
"Besides you?"
Jonah searched her face.
"And no, I didn't think Erica was funny. That's my truth."
"You just went up a notch, but only a notch." She bit the inside of her cheek to keep from grinning as she passed him to the checkout counter. "And I'm still not selling you my car. That's my truth." He groaned, falling into line behind her.
"A ride. One ride."
They heard a gasp and both looked over. The clerk had her hands pressed over her mouth, but she slapped them on the counter and came around.
"If it isn't... Oh, my goodness. I heard you were in town, but I didn't quite believe it. If it isn't little Danny O'Hara..."
Danny paused, eyeing the clerk for a moment. She was in her 40s, and it took a little bit for Danny to recognize her.
"Mrs. Tatum's."
She taught piano to all three O'Haras. Julia and Erica excelled. Danny quit. She grasped Danny's face in her hands and shook her.
"I cannot believe it! It's been ages! How are you?"
She pulled her in for a hug.
"I'm good."
Danny's mouth was pressed into her shoulder.
"Oh, dear!"
She gushed again as she pulled back and held Danny at arm's length.
"The rumors are indeedy true. You, my dear, left an ugly duckling and returned a swan. I can't get over this."
Then her eyes fell on Jonah and went flat.
"What are you doing here, Jonah?"
His grin was easy.
"Early morning breakfast, Karen. I love that coffee cake so much I ate it in one sitting."
"Stop playing with a married woman." Her cheeks reddened. "I have my mother's talent, the best coffee cake in 7 counties now. It won champion at the fair last year, you know."
"Let's hope it wins again."
Mrs. Tatum's tried to look disapproving, but the coffee cake won out.
"Oh, you, Jonah. So charming."
She returned behind the counter and began ringing Danny's things up. Her eyes slid to Danny.
"You better watch out, Danny. If you're seen with the likes of Jonah Bannon, there's going to be other rumors spread around."
She winked at her.
"If you know what I mean."
She didn't, but she could guess. Danny's smile was a little more forced as she waited to pay for her things. She held her tongue, waiting as everything was bagged up. After paying, she waved to her old piano teacher and headed for the door. She muttered under her breath,
Now I remember why I quit after 5 lessons, you old bat. She trailed off, seeing Jonah right behind her. His smile spread a little wider, and he held his hands up.
I didn't have anything to buy, and I have some advice for you.
His head leaned forward an inch.
If you want to get out of a conversation with her, just bring up Mr. Mills. You can say anything about him, but he was her competition in town. Both taught piano lessons, and she hates him. If she thinks you're going to start gushing about him, she'll end that conversation real quick.
Thanks. I'll keep that in mind. She stowed her things in the back seat and reached for her door. She paused. She looked back up.
You haven't said anything to make me think this, but just in case your interest really isn't about my car, I'm not here to compete with either of my sisters.
Before she knew what she was saying, she heard herself being more honest with him than anyone else.
I left a really great man behind, and I didn't come back to find a replacement for him. I'm not home for any of that.
She got inside, or attempted to. Jonah stopped her. Just as she was about to close the door, he caught it.
Hey, wait.
Before he could say anything more, she added, That might not be what's going on here, I know. I could be speaking out of turn, and you might really only want to drive my car, but it doesn't matter to others.
She pointed around the streets and sidewalks. They're already talking about me, and as much as I hate to give that old bat some credit, she is right about one thing. If people see us talking or you driving my car, you know what they're going to think. I didn't come back to deal with any of that either.
He shifted closer to the door, lowering his voice.
I know what my reputation is, and sometimes it's earned. Other times it's the furthest from the truth. I get what you're doing, but here's my advice to you. You don't have a reputation yet. People can't figure you out right now because you're not the same as when you left. That could be bad for you. They'll give you a rep you might not want. Your ex, for one. People are going to assume you're here for him until you show them you're not.
I'm not here for Jake, either.
Okay.
He pointedly nodded to the car.
Then let yourself be seen with me. Being seen with me will counteract any other rumor.
He leaned even closer to her.
If it's not me, it should be someone else. It won't hurt you to be seen with someone other than Jake Cairns.
Jake was my best friend all my life.
He's engaged to your sister, and you're gonna need friends.
That's what you're offering?
If I can get a joyride in this magnificent piece of machinery, then yes.
He tapped her car door.
I'm offering.
You sure your reputation is only half true?
Danny grinned as she got inside and started the engine. Jonah closed the door for her.
My aunt also says you're a ladies' man, been with half the town.
He grinned down at her, and Danny ignored the little flutter she felt. He winked at her.
Let me come by the cabin later, and I'll show you how much of a gentleman I can be. You know I'm itching to get underneath this hood.
Her body grew warm, and was getting warmer the more they talked. She schooled her features so they were almost a glare. Or, she was trying.
You better be talking about my car.
Of course.
That dimple was winking again at her.
What else would I be talking about? I'm a gentleman, remember?
She groaned, but then she heard herself answering, I'll be around this evening.
What was she doing?
Sounds good. See you around 6, and I like my steak medium rare.
Steak? She had to cook for him now? He held a hand up and headed across the road. She was about to pull out into traffic when she heard the short warning signal of a cop's sirens. She looked over. Jake had pulled up next to her. 6. Shit. Danny cut the engine and sat back to wait. Jake had a partner in the passenger seat, but when he climbed out, his partner stayed.
and it wasn't Jonah this time, but a woman. And judging by the glower on his face, he didn't look like he wanted to have a few words. He looked ready to rip into her about something. Before Jake could say anything, she nodded at his car. "Who's your partner?"
My partner.
"Yeah, got that. Who is it?" Danny craned her neck, trying to get a better look around him.
"Oh,"
Jake remarked, a bit sheepish.
"That's Kate Daly."
"Kate Daly's a cop?" Kate Daly was the female version of Jonah, or her reputation claimed. She probably felt the counselor and principal's office were second or third homes to her own. She'd been known for cutting class, smoking on school property. Thinking back, Danny knew the girl had been into more than just sex, cigarettes, and skipping school. The tracks on her arms announced it to the world. Kate Daly was now a cop. Danny was stunned.
"Yeah.
I didn't know small-town cops got partners."
"It's new. We're trying it out."
"Julia likes that you have a female partner?"
"Danny..."
He shook his head.
"Don't start."
There it was, the old Jake and Danny. He spoke to her using his soft voice, how he used to when they dated. And like back then, she answered. The wall fell, and for a brief moment they were 18 again. Danny watched him, her head against her seat's headrest, and a silence fell over them. Jake began to drum his fingers on the door. Danny grinned. That was his thing whenever he was anxious but didn't know what to say. His fingers would strum up and down on whatever surface they were resting on. Jake always prided himself on being a stellar poker player, but it just wasn't true. She knew all his tells. He cleared his throat.
"You sleep good last night?"
"I slept all right."
"I know that cabin is a good distance from civilization."
He tugged at his collar, hunching his shoulders forward.
"If you're ever scared, you know, just give me a call."
"And wake Julia? And have her know that you're running off to help me?" Julia would throw a fit, and they both knew it. "So the next time I wake up at 3 a.m, I'm supposed to call you, and Julia will be okay with that?"
"Don't play this game. I know what you're doing. You're pushing my buttons, and you're trying to piss me off."
"Is it working?"
"It's too early for something like this. I don't want to play games with you."
"Well, tough." Danny expelled a deep breath. She was over Jake, had been for years, but a bubble of anger rose up in her. "You screwed me for years, screwed Erica after that, and now you got Julia. You don't want to play, you should date outside the O'Hara pool."
"What happened to you?"
He took a step back.
"You were never this bitter before."
"I come home and find that you're still playing puppet to one of my sisters. Don't act outraged that I'm tired of it."
"Danny,
let's get some things straight. You asked where I was, but we both know you want to know why I left. You were part of the reason, but you weren't the total reason." She narrowed her eyes. "And when I say you were part of it, I'm meaning that you're the one who kept me here. Once you were gone, I was gone." Jake glanced over his shoulder. Kate had gotten out of her seat and approached the car. She looked good. That was Danny's first thought. The Kate from her day had been skinny, dressed in goth, and had a chip on her shoulder telling the world to go to hell. This Kate had gained about 10 pounds, had a soft smile, and even smoother skin. She looked happy.
"So the rumors are true."
Kate waved a hand.
"Hi, Danny. It's been a long time."
They'd never talked except for one time. Both had been ordered to the counselor's office. In the lobby, Kate cursed at her, and Danny moved down a seat. That had been the extent of their interaction and their history.
"Kate, how are you holding up against the Craigstown scrutiny?"
"Oh, you know, the power of one eye twitch can go a long way."
"Yeah."
Kate laughed, resting on one hip.
"The nonverbals in this town are legendary. I remember in school, I'd walk through a store, and by the time I finished making one trip, there were 20 different stories made up. I was either going to rob the place or blow the owner's son. Those were the two main ones.
Kate, do you mind?
Jake gestured to Danny before his hand fell back to rest on his holstered gun.
We were in the middle of something.
Danny held up a hand. Ignore him. I'd rather talk to you.
Danny?
Kate's gaze skirted between the two, then she glanced in the direction Jonah had gone.
So, is it true? Are you and Jonah Bannon an item? That's what I heard from one of the regulars at the Piggly Squiggly. Everyone is talking about the two of you.
Kate!
What?
She looked at Jake. The ends of his mouth turned down in sharp disapproval, and he crossed his arms over his chest.
I can't believe you listen to that stuff. That's all just rumors and gossip.
Say what you want. You get the best dirt there.
Kate shrugged.
So is it true, Danny? You and Jonah Bannon?
Kate!
Jake's laugh came out sounding forced.
Danny and Jonah? Seriously? If those two aren't the oddest and complete opposites, then I don't know who is.
Like you and Julia? Danny interrupted. Jake fell silent. Kate remarked,
And opposites sometimes attract, Jake.
Are you and Erica?
Jake shook his head. That's completely different.
How come? Kate closed her mouth as her eyes darted between the two. She edged back a step.
Danny.
Jake.
Come on.
He now laughed.
What are you... Are you serious? You and Jonah? Jonah Bannon?
Jake had no right commenting or speculating on her love life. He'd been a part and played his part well, but he was out. He'd been out for a long, long time. He had no place passing judgment, no matter what was the truth. She lifted her chin up. Maybe. He went still.
Are you serious?
Kate commented out of the side of her mouth.
I think you should be asking yourself why you care so much.
Kate!
Jake shot her a glare and it shut her up. Danny sighed. She was suddenly done with this conversation. Jake was jealous, but that was old news. He'd been jealous in high school, too, and there'd been no basis for it then. She loved him, completely and wholeheartedly, and seeing him yesterday took her back there. It had been brief, but hearing that same shit from him now, she was over it. She was grateful to him for one thing, and that was realizing she truly was over what they had. She could safely answer May's questions if she was going to get Jake back. She didn't want him. Julia was welcome to him. But as for the rest of her aunt's questions, Danny still wasn't ready to admit them, even to herself. 7. Her sister had been buried. She had been clothed, prayed upon, and blessed. She had been put into the earth's dirt. It was something that Danny was beyond familiar with. Feeling the same emptiness that haunted her at night, she heaved a deep breath and shook her head clear. She couldn't expel the shiver that ran down her back, putting the hairs on her neck straight up.
Hello?
Startled, Danny jumped and cursed.
Sorry.
Jonah poked his head through the open door. Danny realized that she'd forgotten to shut it. After leaving town, she went to the cemetery. She hadn't planned on going, but she found herself parking along the graveled driveway. That was as far as she got, though. She stared at the set of tombstones where she guessed Erica was buried. She would have been put next to their mom's grave. And sitting there a full 30 minutes, Danny couldn't make herself get out. When she got back to the cabin, she couldn't remember what she did for the rest of the afternoon. She remembered making coffee, and with a jerk, she was still standing in her kitchen. Her coffee was cold now. What time is it? He checked his watch.
It's about 6-ish. You were gonna let me drive the car, remember?
Oh, yeah, she frowned. Sorry, I was just... She pushed away from the counter and dumped the coffee into the sink. I got busy and forgot all about tonight.
That's okay.
He produced a package from behind his back.
Two steaks. I wasn't sure if you went back in the store for them after this morning, so I did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jonah nodded and moved to her side.
Do you want to spice those up? I'll go and light the grill.
He was out the door as her hand came up to take the steaks from him. He'd already placed them on the counter, and she could hear him removing the cover from the grill outside. Her mother once told her that spices attracted the best magic. They each had their own purpose. Garlic protected the soul against invading temptations. Oregano protected against cynicism. Parsley protected against old age. Her mother would go down the list, and Danny would sit there, mesmerized by everything her mother told her. She remembered lying in bed that night, and as she would look up at the ceiling, all the spices danced above her. They each twinkled, protecting her against the world. Danny believed that for the longest time. As she took the steaks out of the wrappings and placed them on a plate, Danny perused Aunt May's old spice rack. Her eyes fell on the ginger, and for a moment her fingers lingered. She knew the truth by now. There was no magic. There was no protection.
Those steaks ready?
Jonah called from outside. Danny went outside. I don't like my meat spiced.
Okay.
Jonah cast her an easy grin and flipped open the grill top. As he put the steaks inside, he asked,
You got anything else in there that you want grilled? I know some folks like a roasted corn cob every now and then.
A moment later, with slabs of butter placed inside the corn's husk, Danny sat on the porch's steps as she watched Jonah flip the meat and everything else on the grill. She grabbed a few more vegetables.